Good morning. The verse from that song, "Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do." So, Wednesday, I was at John and Carol's house and talking to John, and Carol just didn't look good, and tried to work on my sermon that day and sat in front of the screen blank. Thursday, got the word that the cancer was doing its work and that it would be short order. And Friday, got the call from one of my best friends that you never want to get the call, that his wife had passed away. Kept sitting at the computer trying to write. Sermon was going to be on Joseph in Genesis 41, and frankly, it does really relate. Joseph had interpreted a dream and thought he would be elevated and had to wait 2 years still in the prison, but my fingers still wouldn't type. Last night, 6:30, it's getting late in the time. I have to put the final touches on my sermon. I'm sitting at my computer, tears running down my face. I can't preach this sermon. I need to preach through what God is teaching me. See, there's some times when, as a pastor, you don't want to be a pastor. You just want to be a friend who can sit on the couch, put the covers on, and cry. You don't have to try to find some way to communicate what happens when grief happens. But at the same time, God was doing something in me, and I thought, there's probably a lot of people in this room that are experiencing exactly what I'm experiencing now. Many of you have known John and Carol for a very long time. And so I prayed and I said, God, I need help processing my own grief, because when one part of the body suffers, the rest of the body suffers with it. And so would you help me to process my grief and then to come tomorrow and share that process with people so that they can have hope? Because as much as we grieve, as much as it hurts, we know Carol now no longer has chemo treatments, fatigue, pain, anxiety about what's next, fear. It's all gone. And so we come today and we ask God to speak through His Word to help us process this grief. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to look at three ways we can deal with grief, and pray that God moves and comforts us in the way that only He can. So let's pray. Dearly Father, You are good, and You do good. And even in this instance, we've seen the many ways that You've been working, and we've seen You come alongside and comfort John and his family and give them peace, and come alongside to me and many others in this church and provide peace. And so as we open Your Word today, it's a little different sermon than a traditional sermon, but we need the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word. So speak to us today. In Your name we pray. Amen. So I want to look at three ways that we can deal with grief. First, I want to allow you to know that it's okay to grieve. Second, that we don't grieve alone. And third, that we don't grieve without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." Notice Paul doesn't say here, so that you do not grieve. See, grief is inevitable. He says, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who has no hope. He says, as believers in Christ Jesus, we do grieve, but we grieve with hope. And in fact, I think it's good to grieve. Author Sharon Dirk says this, "Grief is an expression of injustice. Death is not natural. It's an aberration that jars against the core of our being, regardless of our attempts to rationalize it. In fact, our cries point towards God rather than away from Him." And she made this point that when we cry out why, when something bad happens, we're actually crying out to God and acknowledging God's existence. Even for those that are atheists, when they say, why could this thing happen without an existence of God, there's no reason to cry out why. So when we cry out why, we understand it's because God exists and hears our cries. And sometimes I think we want to temper what we say and hold back, but God can take our raw pain. just so you know. God already knows you're thinking it. He already knows exactly what you're feeling. I mean, listen to Psalm 22 with David foreshadowing what Jesus would say. My God, why have you forsaken me? In Job 6, after Job had lost everything, he says, if only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery be placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas. He's saying, I'm in so much anguish that my anguish is more than all the sand that exists in all the seas in this world. And John 11, when Jesus was confronted with Lazarus' death, he wept. The creator of the universe, who knew he would heal Lazarus, wept. See, I believe that grieving helps us recognize that this world is marred by sin. It helps us recognize the effects of sin on this earth. In Romans 8, verse 22, it says this, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We're all eagerly awaiting that moment that Carol already experienced. Right now, she has already experienced the joys that are in this verse. But us on this earth, having lost someone that we care about, we eagerly wait. We groan. We grieve. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Thursday, when I, right after I got off the phone with John and knew that cancer had won and it was a matter of time, there was no one else in the church. Me by myself, glad I was by myself because family didn't know yet and other things. And up in my office, just crying. No words. And this verse came to my mind. The Holy Spirit could intercede on my behalf and could interpret my groans and my cries and interpret them into prayers to the Father. And even the Holy Spirit, as He's interpreting that, is interpreting it in groans. Even He groans as we groan. And so it's such a comfort to me that God knew. God was there. It was okay for me to cry out. And He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. In verse 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We know God sees the big picture, and we can't see it, and we don't understand how it all fits together, but God is sovereign and in control, and He is working all things together for our good, according to His purpose. So we as Christians, when we grieve, it's because we know something's wrong. Death, suffering, injustice, pain, and grief are all the results of the fall. So we mourn when a loved one dies, not because it's just because they mean something to us, but because we know there's an injustice that happens and they mean something to God. Last week we looked at sanctity of life and we looked at how God has created each of us. And so we grieve because we know that an image bearer of God is experiencing the results of the curse. We grieve because we are losing someone who we love. So as Christians, it's okay to grieve. In fact, I think it's scriptural. Second, we need to realize, though, that we don't grieve alone. We don't grieve alone. When we suffer, we can look to the life of Jesus to recognize that we aren't alone. Hebrews 4 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Christ came to this earth, experienced temptation, experienced suffering, and lived a perfect life so He could be the perfect sacrifice for us. Isaiah 53, when we suffer, we can look at the life of Christ because He suffered for us. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem. Surely He took our pain
and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. When we suffer, we look back to the cross and realize we don't serve a God who is distant. We don't serve a God who doesn't care, but one who willingly entered into suffering on our behalf, who was broken and pierced for our sins. And so it gives us hope. When Jesus came to the earth, he experienced the death of his earthly father. He was betrayed by one of his 12 closest friends. One of his 3 closest friends, his best friends, when he was asked, "Do you know Jesus?" he was denied by him. He was tortured for a crime he didn't commit and ultimately died for us. And so when we suffer, the best thing we can do is look to the cross. Remember, we don't serve a God who is distant from suffering, but one who willingly entered into it for us. We also know that we have a God who understands us and offers peace and comfort. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 34 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." So we grieve. We realize that we don't grieve alone, that God is here in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the pain. He is there with you. You know, so many different people I've known that have finally come to a point where they recognized they needed Jesus. It was a point of brokenness, 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 until they finally got to the point where they said, "God, I need you. I can't do it on my own." And then God revealed himself in that moment. "I'm here." I remember my lowest moment, you know, in 2004, going through a really deep depression, getting to the point where I was so broken and saying, "God, I can't do it anymore. I can't carry all this weight." And it wasn't an audible voice, but it was as if God was saying to me, "I didn't ask you to. I'm here. Cast your cares on me, and I will care for you. Give these burdens up to me. Stop trying to carry them on your own. Stop trying to do this on your own. I didn't call you to do it alone. I sent my son to die on the cross to be with you, to offer salvation and to live with you. You don't have to do it alone." But it's not just Christ that's with us. As a church family, we have each other. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it." And that's why we mourn together, because one part of our body is suffering today. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." The God we serve is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. But listen to this. Why does he comfort us in our troubles? One of the reasons he does that is so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For those of you that have lost a spouse, often you're the person that can care for someone else when they lose their spouse the best, because you know how God provides comfort in that season. For someone like me, because I've gone through deep depression, when other people have gone through that, I can come alongside them and go, "Look, I know how you're feeling. And this is how God helped me out of it." So for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. So John, if you hear this or listen to this message, you're not alone in your grief. And you're not alone in your comfort. Michelle, you're not alone in your comfort. You know, Henry, you're not alone in your comfort. We've been through a rough patch here as a church. A lot of stuff going on. You know, for those going through chemo right now, Kathy and Tim and Dan, you're not alone. We're here. I hear time and time again people in the church saying, "I pray for you every day." There's so many people here who have linked arms to cover you in prayers. You're not alone in your grief. So it's okay to grieve, but we don't grieve alone, because God is with us. But not only is God with us, but we have our church family here alongside of us. And third, we don't grieve without hope. Romans 8, before I got into all the things I read earlier, says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Carol, in the midst of her sufferings these last couple months, they don't compare with the glory that she is experiencing now. They're just a blip. Job, in the middle of all his troubles, makes this incredible profession of faith. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, as I read earlier, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him. So we have hope because we know where Carol is. And so whenever we experience suffering and hardship, it always causes us to ask the question, why? How could a good God allow suffering? How could a good God allow these things to happen? Why didn't he intervene? And I've always thought the best answer is Jesus, but I found this video and I thought maybe this will help you process these things. So if we can go to this video on Jesus and the ugly bits of our life.
Life is full of really good things. But you don't have to live for very long to realize that there are plenty of ugly bits as well. Sometimes these ugly bits can be trivial. But sometimes the ugly bits in life can be absolutely devastating. Some people look at all the ugly bits in life and conclude that God is not there or that he doesn't care. Why does God allow suffering? There is no simple answer to this question. However, if you want to find the answer, the place to start is with Jesus. After Jesus was born, Herod the Great tried to have him killed by executing all the baby boys under the age of 2 in Bethlehem. Huge crowds of people followed him, but the religious leaders and powerful people in society decided they wanted him dead. Jesus spent much of his adult life with a price on his head. Jesus was spat on, mocked, beaten, and whipped. He was forced to wear a crown made out of thorns on his head. He was forced to carry his own cross to the hill on which criminals were crucified. He was stripped of his clothes, publicly humiliated. He had nails driven through his wrists and ankles. And he was crucified on a cross. Jesus was betrayed, condemned, abandoned, and alone. And after it all, he died. But he died a death that he never deserved. When you look at the life of Jesus, and as you learn more and more about him, you start to realize that in spite of all the hardships and suffering, he lived a life that matched up perfectly with what he said about God. He made no mistakes. If we are willing to learn from him, then what we will actually find is that God does care, and that God hates the suffering and evil in his world even more than we do. Most importantly, when we look to Jesus, we find that God has already begun to fix up the mess, and he has promised to finish the job in the end. On our own, we are part of the problem itself. From the very beginning, people have turned their backs on God. All of us have tried to live our own way without him, living as if God, our Creator, doesn't matter. Not even the best of us have lived the life we were made to live. The awful result is that our relationship with God has been ruined, and that's bad news. But he has given us a gift, his one and only Son. Have you ever taken the time to look closely at the life of Jesus? Have you ever listened to the things he said or looked at the things he has done?
Jesus, we recognize that God Himself willingly entered into suffering on our behalf. And so if you're here today and you don't know what to do with your grief, and you wonder, how could I serve a God that allows this other stuff to happen? Please look at the life of Jesus. I don't know, I've said this many times that I've met with people in the hospital, how someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus can face those situations that they face. I've seen the peace of God overwhelmingly be with my brothers and sisters as they face the most horrific situations. But I can not only say it externally as to those others that have experienced it, I can say it personally as God has given me a peace that really can't be explained. In the hardest moments, in the toughest moments, in the moments that I want to give up the most, those are the times where God graciously, persistently shows His mercy to me personally, comes alongside, and demonstrates His love. I don't serve a God that is distant. I serve a God that comes near to the brokenhearted. And so today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you, come talk to me after. Because everything out there that the world offers, it's all temporary stuff. God doesn't promise to give us an easy life, but He promises to be with us every single step of the way. And I am so thankful that He is. I'm going to pray, and then I want to share a song with you that I've shared one other time, and I was trying to think back of when it was. I think it actually might have been when Carol was diagnosed with cancer. But everybody processes grief differently, but one of the ways I process it is through music. It's just kind of who I am. I like to sing praises in the midst of the difficult times or listen to music. So we're going to do that together. But let me pray, and then we'll dive into that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, many in this congregation are at the same exact point that I am, of just longing for a world that isn't broken, and of just praying desperately for our brother John and his family as they grieve this loss. Lord, be with them. Give them Your strength. And Lord, we thank You that when we go through these difficult times, we can grieve. And in fact, it's good to grieve, to realize the reality of suffering, but that we don't grieve alone, that You're here with us. And lastly, that we don't grieve without hope because of what Christ did so that we can have life. So Lord, we thank You that You are God who is near to the brokenhearted. In Your name we pray. Amen. This song is